You ought to take your hymnals and turn to number 24. There was one that I failed to get Miss Betty to type. And we'll sing this one, then we'll start with you, Miss Terry. 24, hymn number 24. Okay, he is able to deliver the hymn number 24. Tis the grandest theme through the ages rung. Tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue. Tis the grandest theme that the world e'er sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. 'Tis the grandest theme in the earth or main. 'Tis the grandest theme for a mortal strain. 'Tis the grandest theme, tell the world again. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. 'Tis the grandest theme, let the tidings roll to the guilty heart, to the sinful soul. Look to God in faith, he will make thee whole. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more, stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. What love could remember no wrongs we have done? Omniscient, all-knowing, he counts not their sum. Thrown into a sea without bottom or shore. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Darkness new every morn. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. What patience would await as we constantly roam? What father so tender is calling us home? He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. What riches of kindness he lavished on us. His blood was the payment, His life was the cost. We stood neath a debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Open us tonight. I didn't hear anything, did you? That was my phone. I apologize. Oh, that's what it was. Yeah. Okay. When darkness tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow comes to steal the joy I own, when brokenness and pain is all I know, oh, I won't be shaken, no, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Shame no longer has a place to hide. I am not a captive to the lies. I'm not afraid to leave my past behind. Oh, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. There's power that can break off every chain. There's power that can empty out a grave. There's resurrection power that can save. There's power in your name, power in your name. There's power that can break off every chain. There's power that can empty out a grave. There's resurrection power that can save. There's power in your name, power in your name. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Thank you. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pasture, feed us. For our use, thy folds prepare.
Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. We are thine, do thou befriend us, be a guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, hear us when we pray. Thou hast promised to receive us, poor and sinful though we be. Thou hast mercy to receive us, grace to cleanse and power to free. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, early let us turn to thee. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, early let us turn to thee. Early let us seek thy favor, early let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy love our being filled. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, loved us still.
Amen. Okay. Can we close that other door? Anyway, where I can see. There we go. Now I can see. There you are. Preaching out this new Bible. What I want to do is, I've had this on the burner now for 2 weeks, I think it is. And so, I'm trying to finish it, and I was tempted to go on and just hook up with Romans and keep going that direction, but I couldn't get this off my mind, so I'm going to preach this out, and then we'll be back in Romans next Sunday morning. Got a lot going this week, right? We're going to start a one up. That's going to be exciting to get that kicked off and Hope you can come and have supper with us about 5 o'clock, and then we'll start our classes at 6, and have a good time in the Lord. All those little pity patters around here, and that's all part of life. The deacon's meeting and the business meeting is not canceled permanently. It's I've just got to find the time I can have it, or we can have it. And we have some that can't be there on Tuesday night, and have some that can't be there on Thursday night. As far as I know, everybody could be at the business meeting, but I'd rather us have the deacon's meeting first. So probably sometime next week we will, not this coming week, the following week. We will have that, and the business meeting will follow. And the Lord is good all the time, isn't he? Let's stand together. And I want to read 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. And again, with verse 13, a very familiar passage of Scripture. I've used this many, many times. I don't have it marked in this Bible yet, but in my other Bibles, it's marked out. Try to make it easy for me to find when I come to a graveside, and I'm going to use this for the interment service. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. And if you can pull your brain back to when we first started in Thessalonians, he's talking about those that have died. For a Christian is falling asleep. So I wouldn't have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. He didn't say not to sorrow, but he said we don't sorrow like people that don't have hope, because we have the blessed hope of the Lord. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and I believe that, I hope you believe that, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. In other words, when he comes, when Jesus comes, and he's referring to the Lord as God, because Jesus is God. He's God the Son, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the triune Godhead. Each person of the Godhead, individual person of the Godhead, individual ministry of the Godhead. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. We'll not go before them, because they're already there. And when the rapture takes place, we will, the Bible says, meet them in the air. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Let me go ahead here. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Some refer to this as snatched up, caught up, raptured up, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then he ends that thought by saying, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You can be seated. Now I want you to take your Bibles and turn to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, and verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren. Now this is his second letter to the Thessalonians. And he says, and we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about him coming in the sky. Now, this is one of the things that I always get confused with as I'm reading try to determine, is this the glorious appearing? Or is this the rapture of the church? And one of the things that I've learned of late that I think that has helped me is that when I read, I always expect it to happen in chronological order. this happens, then this happens, then this happens. But one of the scholars that I was listening to said the Easterners did not explain stuff in that kind of way, in the same way that the Westerners explain. When it talks about Revelation and all the things that are going on, he may have been explaining it in a panoramic view that this is happening, this is happening, this is happening, not necessarily in order, but all those things are going to happen quickly. The Bible says when they start happening, they're going to happen quickly. It looks to me like it's happening quickly. I would call it quick, but maybe not so. That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled neither by spirit nor by my word, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. And I think that he is saying that for a purpose. It's not that he doesn't want folks to expect Christ to come just any day, but for folks to quit living their life waiting for the Lord to come. I heard a pastor say a while back, live your life as though it's going to be 100 years, but expect him to come any day. And so I think that's very important. I think I've told you this before, but the town of Gilbert was built with a group of people that had moved there to wait for the Lord to come. They were printing materials. I don't know what what group it was. I know the pastor's name was Battershell. My dad knew a little bit about the history of it, and he told me about that. If you go to Gilbert, and you'll come to a fork in the road, and the Christian church is on the right, a white building, and then there's a community building, which used to be the schools where my brother and sister went to school. Just past that, well, right in that corner is a stone building. Pretty good size building, probably a fourth of the size of this auditorium. A stone building that has been kept up. I don't know how the roofs stayed good on it, perhaps, but it's a stone building. There's still a printing press in there. That was where they printed their materials to give people. I did a little bit of research on that about 5 years ago, but my dad knew quite a lot about that group. It was even when he was a child, I think, that group, and he would have, had he lived, he'd have been over 100 years old now. But they did a lot of crazy things. The pastor was nuts, that's pretty usual, isn't it? Anyway, he was going to raise, went up to the graveyard, was going to raise the dead. Of course, that didn't take place. Went down to the river, was going to show him how he could walk on water, and he forgot where the stumps were. Couldn't do it. Of course he couldn't do it. You know, I can't imagine anybody going that far to say, I'm going to prove to you I can do this. Unless somebody challenged him, you know, I guess, and said, look, we want to see this. Let's go right now. That's the reason they built the town of Gilbert. And I could point out to you the houses that were built by that cult. They're still there. Many of them were stained with chrysol stain to make them last a long time. And there's probably four or five of them still there. People are living in them. It's kind of a strange deal. But nobody knew very much about it, and I think they wanted to forget about it. I talked to, at the time that I was doing the research, I talked to the oldest lady in Gilbert, which was at that time in her name was Miss Bing, and her house is one of those houses. And she gave me a lot of information on it. And then the guy that kind of manages the lounge around there, his name was Harold Bean, he let me in where the printing press was. I was wishing that I had kept some of that material. I picked it up, but I don't know if he suggested maybe I better not take it with me or something. But anyway, I didn't keep any of it. And so I think that's what he is saying, that we live our lives as though it's going to be 100 years, but we expect Jesus to come any day. I think that's what he is, the thought that Paul is trying to get across here. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Now, I think we're in the midst of that right now because of the churches that are falling away from the Word. I think that's one of the main signs that's taking place. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Talking about the Antichrist that is going to come. And a lot of folks would ask the question, is the Antichrist here now? Is the Antichrist on the scene now? And we don't know. Could be, I suppose. I don't believe that the Antichrist is in power. I think that when you study the book of Revelation, you make a discovery that this guy is going to be so charismatic. He is going to be able to swoo people to do things that they would not normally do. He will come as a messenger of peace. I'm going to bring peace on this earth. And so people want peace, don't they? They will follow that. When you follow the four horsemen, the apocalypse horsemen of Revelation, the rider on the white horse has a bow, but he has no arrows. And so there's this indication of peace that he has a weapon, but he doesn't have any arrows for that weapon. And I believe that what is going to happen is that this rider on the white horse, who is the Antichrist, is saying that he is coming in the name of peace, and in order for the world to have peace, you've got to lay down your weapons. You can't protect yourself anymore. Everybody's going to have to sign a treaty that they do away with their nukes and all the high-powered, high-tech weapons that we have now. So I believe that that's going to, that we may see that in our lifetime. I'm sure that the young people that's in our church are going to see that in their lifetime, and we may see it in our lifetime. Keep your eyes on the news for some real charming guy that will say, hey, you know, I'm just here to help you. I'm just trying to help everybody. We're going to make a better, it's going to be a new world. Matter of fact, it's going to be one world government. A new world to live in. We're going to have the same currency. It's just going to be the most peaceful place because everybody has laid down their weapons except for me. And I think that's how that will start. And I think the falling away has already started, and the son of perdition may be on the scene. He may not be. Who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. He's not going to come on the scene like that, but it's going to turn that way. So that he, as God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So, the temple was destroyed in 70 A.D., by the Romans. When Jesus was walking by the temple and the disciples said to him, look what a marvelous, fantastic building this is. And he said, I'm telling you, there's going to come a time that there's not going to be one stone left upon another of this building. Oh, that's impossible. That can't take place. The huge stones, that could never take place. Well, the temple was adorned with gold everywhere. And when the Romans set it on fire, that gold melted and ran down in the cracks of the rocks. And they turned those rocks over. They tore the building, destroyed the building, tore it all apart in order to get the gold out from between the cracks of the rocks. Okay, the temple has not been rebuilt, and it's not there now. So, what is he talking about? Is he talking about 70 A.D.? No, he's not. I'll tell you what's going to happen. The temple is going to be rebuilt. So keep your eye on it. It's going to be rebuilt. Because it's going to be rebuilt, and the Antichrist is going to set himself up in the temple as God. You think that we're not headed toward that kind of religion? We are. I mean, it's hate crime. If you tell folks that Jesus is the only way, and you know, I would have thought, no, these churches, these mainline churches, they'll stay with the Word. I had friends that were members, new pastors that were members of denominations now that I believe are part of the falling away. Their ministry seems to be great. I mean, they're feeding the hungry. They're helping the widows. They're helping the orphans. They're drilling water wells in places where there's not any water. They're doing all these marvelous things, but they've left the Word. And Jesus said there's going to be a group of people that said, Lord, did we not do all these marvelous things in your name? And he's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. It's happening as I speak. It's going on now. Remember, Paul said, remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know that what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. So there's something holding him back. There's something holding back the terror of the last day. And I believe it's the Holy Spirit, because I think that what is going to happen is that I believe that folks are going to be saved during the tribulation. But I think that what is going to happen whenever the church is raptured, the coming of the Holy Spirit came to the church. It doesn't mean that there wasn't a Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit was not present before the day of Pentecost. He was present before the day of Pentecost, but not like on the day of Pentecost, because on the day of Pentecost, he entered the believers. He came inside them. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Christ in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came down and he entered the individuals. And so has it been for the church ever since that day. When a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit of God enters that person. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. It's going to be there. Sealed, the Bible says, until the day of redemption. Can't lose it. Can't lose it. You can go nuts. You can miss the mark. You can sin. You can live in sin. Just can't lose it. You trust Christ as your Savior, He's there. And when the church is raptured, that ministry of the Holy Spirit is taken up. Doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit won't be here, but that kind of action of the Holy Spirit, that ministry of the Holy Spirit, I believe will be taken up with the church. And the church age ends at the rapture. There's no more church age. It ends at the rapture. And so, I believe people will be saved. They'll call on God and ask for forgiveness and come to know Christ. And in the book of Revelation, we see them, the martyrs that were gathered around the throne said, "Lord, how long will it be before you avenge our blood?" He said, "Until when the number gets full, the end will come." And I think that Christians, saved people that are saved after the rapture of the church, will be martyred by the thousands, by the 10,000s. I believe not only will they be martyred, but they'll die as other people will die during the Great Tribulation from starvation and lack of food, lack of water, disease of all kinds. The Bible says, like the world has never seen before. And that's the reason that we should be evangelistic in our efforts. We have to warn people of there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, the old preacher said. And now you know that what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his last time. So it's whatever's holding him back is going to stop. For the ministry of iniquity doth already work. It's even working in Paul's day, and it's working now. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And I believe that's the Holy Spirit. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. I think this coming is the glorious appearing. I believe the church has been raptured, and this is the glorious appearing when he is going to set up his thousand-year reign of Christ. Even him whose coming is after the work of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, that's the Antichrist, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Such a hating God so much that they are unwilling to repent. And for this cause, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Some translations, maybe yours, I don't know. King James doesn't put it this way, but your translation might. Anyone have a translation that says that they might believe the lie? The lie. That's a good translation. That they might believe the lie. I don't know if you know it or not, but the lie is being promoted right now. Turn your TV on the news. I don't like to watch it. I can't understand to watch it. You watch it for me and tell me what's going on. But the lie is being promoted right now, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. We've come to a place where sin is promoted. And what was the term I heard used the other day? It wasn't promoted. It was almost sin was celebrated. Sin. We're living in a society that celebrates sin. Kill them babies. Let's celebrate. Let's march. Let's celebrate over killing these babies. Let's celebrate the homosexual lifestyle. Let's celebrate. Let's march in the streets. Take off all of our clothes. Do perverse things in front of little children. Let's celebrate it. We've come to that. Number two, the promise of His coming. Well, we've got a wonderful promise. He's coming Himself. He's not sending an angel. He's not sending a delegation, but Himself. He's coming. Can't hardly wait, can you? Wonder what He looks like. Doubt if He looks like the picture, don't you? I don't know. I'll tell you, it's been a few years back, but some of you, we went up to see the, was it the Promise? What was that called? That, or the Passion? The Passion of Christ? But, I mean, it wasn't at Eureka Springs. It was a sound and sight theater deal, but it's not the one that they're doing now. But it was several years ago. And the one that depicted Jesus, I thought, this is a great depiction of the Lord. He danced with them. He loved on them. He laughed. He smiled. And I thought, that's what Jesus is not like somebody walking around that just ate a sour pickle. I believe that when we see Him, we're going to run to Him. I think that it's going to be such a gathering. We want to be close to Him. We will have this desire. I got to get close to Him. I want to get to see Him. I want to hear His voice. I want to feel the touch of His hand. I want to feel His arm around my shoulder. Now, how can He do that with millions and millions to take care of? But I believe He will. He's coming Himself in the air and then to the ground after the tribulation. Look with me at the book of Acts. Acts, the first chapter. And verse 11. Now this is the ascension of Christ. You know the story quite well. And so He's gone to the Mount of Olives, and he is standing there, and He's giving His disciples the farewell, and then He ascends. And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him up out of their sight. I believe that's what the rapture is going to be like. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven." Matthew, the 16th chapter. Back up just a little bit. Matthew, Mark, Luke. First book of the New Testament. Matthew, the 16th chapter, and look at verse 27. "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And I'm not going to let me put it like this. I didn't want to get into trying to explain that, but I think that that he's talking about that generation will not pass away that sees Israel come as a nation. Turn with me to Matthew 24. And here we see another promise of his coming. In verse 27, he says, "For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Let me go ahead and read some of this, because I think, "For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together immediately after the tribulation of those days." So I think he's talking about the glorious appearing in this spot shall not give her, wait a minute, "immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the power of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from the one end of heaven to the other." And there's where you have to look through the glasses of not expecting it to be in order. John 14, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And look at verse 1. You know this, don't you? "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way, you know." So I want us to look just briefly now at the signs of his coming. In Matthew, if this fly were to come your way, open your mouth real wide. because he's, I don't want him in my mouth. Look at, back up to Matthew, the 24th chapter again. And look at verse 4. "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. And all these are the beginning of the sorrow." This gets real rough. "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, then let them which be in Judah flee unto the mountains. And that desecration of the temple was what Jesus, what Paul was referring to, I think, in Thessalonians. There's some signs that are actually false signs that does, I'm, in a way, they're signs and they're not signs, because what it is, it's birth pains. When a woman is going to give birth, she has birth pains sometimes a good while before the baby comes. And that's a false sign. It's not coming tonight. It's not coming right now. But it is a sign of what's going to come. Because those birth pains are going to hit later and the baby's going to come. And so he says, this is, you need not worry about these birth pains. False Christ, wars and rumors of wars, nations against nations, kingdom against kingdoms, famine, pestilence, and earthquakes, all those things are going to take place. And seeing those things, people would expect we've got to be in the last days. I was listening to a pastor a while back, and he said that lots of people thought that Hitler was an Antichrist because he was slaughtering pastors. They were killing pastors by the hundreds. But there's some true signs. When we look for the signs of his coming, and there again, it's difficult to know if he's referring to the rapture, if he's referring to the glorious appearing. Here are some true signs. The gospel according to Matthew 24, the gospel is going to be preached to all the world. According to Matthew 24:36 through 37, it shall be, Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah. Men will be going about their regular business. Business as usual, verse 38 says in Matthew 24. It's going to be unexpected by the world, but expected by us who are Christians. And I wanted to read that. It is 1 Thessalonians. The fifth chapter. Boy. And look at verse 4. But ye children are not in darkness. Wait, let me start back with verse 1, okay? But of the times and of the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail, and here it is, travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should come, should overtake you as a thief. You're all the children of light and the children of the day. We're not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Matthew 24, verse 8, the shadow of things to come. Second Thessalonians 2, and we read this earlier, falling away first. I think what is going to happen, you can take that, and I don't know how much coffee is now at McDonald's, but you take that and buy you a cup of coffee, but this is what I think is going to happen, is that those birth pains are going to get closer and closer together. In other words, I think that famine and earthquakes are going to get closer and closer together. I think there's going to be signs in the sky. I think that this movement of terrible living of the world is going to get worse and worse. And we think, well, how in the world could it get any worse? It says there's going to be a falling away first, and I think that's already taking place. So I think that signs is being fulfilled before our eyes. So what should our attitude as believers be toward Christ's second coming? Two things I want to leave with us. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 7. Here, Paul said to the church at Corinth, wait for it. It's coming. Just be patient. It's coming. It's coming. Don't get distracted with the things of the world. Just wait. That's pretty hard to do sometimes, isn't it? Just wait for something that's going to happen, but it's going to happen. And when it does, it's going to be wonderful. And as he writes his letter to Titus in the second chapter in the 13th verse, he said, look for it. Look for it. So how do you look for it? Look at what's taking place all around us. Expect it. But go on with your lives. And I've said this before, I'll say it again. Let's take as many with us as we possibly can. Matthew 24 and verse 42, we're to be ready for His coming. 2 Timothy 4:8, we're to love it. We're to be excited about it. We're to love His coming. Revelation 22:20, we're to pray for His coming. Oh, Lord, come quickly. Luke 19:13-18, keep yourself busy until that time comes. Busy about the things of God. Keep having car shows and Your Life Matter rallies. And keep having Awana. Keep having Sunday school. Keep teaching people the truth of the Word and the true Word. Do not stray from the Bible. Stay right in there. Stay with the stuff. Do what is right. Don't allow the devil to get you distracted with other things. When temptation comes, flee from it, because it'll come. And strong. And well. Go out well. Go out doing what's right. Go out doing what God has called us to do. And I think that's what He would have us to do. Let's stand together.